Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, everyone. I am Leona Abraham Brando, host for Blog Talk Radio, Shedding Light. I don't usually do Fridays or Saturdays, but because Chinupa Guhamani had asked if he could do it on a Friday or Saturday, and Saturday, I said I would be okay with it. But seeing he's not showing up when he's supposed to, I'm going to be letting everyone know this Friday and Saturday will be the last weekend that Chinupa will be doing his show. However, some of the things that they will be talking about are going to be tribal issues, prison issues, and also racial issues. And we have a problem in this country of just about all three of them. Unfortunately, people, as it says in the Bible in the last days, people are going to be turning their heads. They're going to betray. They're going to be cold-hearted, uncaring. And we see a lot of that going on right now in the United States. Uncaring people. And it's sad. It's sad because everything, it seemed like before the coronavirus, it was bad enough. But after the coronavirus, it got worse. Everything went haywire. It's almost like we're living in a different country or a different planet now. And I don't know what's going on with this world today, but there's some serious issues that will need to be addressed, serious issues. And so hopefully they'll be talking about that this afternoon or this evening or whatever time zone they're in. But again, we have some problems that need to be worked on in this country. And unfortunately, it's not happening. We have people that are running for positions, and it seems like the same people are running that ran before, and there's been no changes. We listen to the news, and all we hear is repetitive news. Nothing's being done. It's just as though the reporters just want something to talk about. They just want to continuously talk about the same old, same old. We also have a lot of people in prison, mass incarceration, which is very sad because, unfortunately, this is an unequal country when it comes to sentencing and guidelines. People are getting away with it if they have power and they have money. But unfortunately, those that are less fortunate, the middle class and the poorer, are the ones that are suffering. Why is that? Does anybody know? Does anybody want to talk about it? Or are we just living in an environment that is just going nowhere fast? I myself have gotten to the point where I'm angry, I'm frustrated, but I don't care. Sometimes I actually hope and pray that there is a war, a world war, just to end all of this. Because people are stale now. It's like no one cares about anything. They're all hurting, but they're doing absolutely nothing about it. They're not coming together. They're not talking about it in a mass way. They're talking about it amongst themselves, amongst their peers. We have a Republican Party that's saying no to everything the Democrats are trying to do because they just want to be in opposition. It's not that they feel that what's being presented is not fair. It's just they want to be oppressive. We're living in a country where everybody's just doing the opposite of what others are doing because they're having their own personal differences. And who suffers the most? We have to do something about all of this. This can't go on. And right now, we're on the verge of a world war. And as it says in the book of Genesis in the Bible, the next time the world is going to be destroyed, it will be by fire. And this is exactly what's happening now with nuclear weapons. This is exactly what's happening with the global warming. Where is everyone? Where is everyone in this world today? Where is everyone in this country that is experiencing all the injustices, that is going through all the pain and sorrow and suffering? It's really a sad situation. And a lot of people didn't understand why I became so hard, why I became so angry, why I became so different than I was before. Sometimes you can fight a battle so long, and you can fight it by yourself, or you can fight it with a few advocates. But you can't achieve, you can't be successful in making this country right again if we're going to be listening to political parties that are in opposition of one another and not really considering or thinking about the American people. They're thinking about being in opposition with one another. And what happens in a case like that? Nothing is happening. The American people are stale. They're mobile. They're immobile. They're not doing anything. And other countries are looking at the United States of America. Other countries are looking at this country that was once the most powerful country in the world, and now it's just full of chaos, division, hatred, vengeance, retaliation. It's almost like a ghost town when you come to think of it. Because there's people on this earth, there's people in this country, but everyone's going their own separate ways. Everyone's in opposition. Everyone's in a divided country. Everyone's complaining to one another. And I'll be thankful when these news, Fox News, CNN, MSNBC, CBS, all of these, PBS, all of these news stations start talking about something else other than the presidents, other than Trump and his criminal activities, other than the abortion rights, which nobody has any business getting involved with anyway. I mean, this world has been in existence, this country's been in existence for years and years and years, thousands of years. And there was nothing mentioned in the original Constitution about taking over women's rights to do what they want to do, whether they want to have an abortion or not. It's between them and God. So why all of a sudden now do we have a government that's trying to take away the rights of women to do whatever they want to do with their body? And then there was a young man, all of a sudden now of color, who wore his hair a certain way in school, in braids. And all of a sudden now, the government has given the courts right to allow the schools to decide how kids should wear their hair when they go to school. Does that make any sense? Do they not know about cultures? This country exists of many cultures, people from all over the world. And there's a lot of these kids from Jamaica, from Haiti, from a lot of these different countries, Caribbean countries, that wear their hair in dreadlocks or they wear their hair in braids. Who has the right to tell them how to wear their hair? Here we have a country where there's so much violence going on, and our government chooses to focus on women's rights and the way kids wear their hair. And anybody that thinks that's okay is just as ignorant, just as illiterate as they are. We have a country that's run by wealthy people, a country that's run by people who have that piece of paper. Anybody can get that piece of paper if they go to college. But without the experience, without the knowledge, they can do nothing. The only reason there's so many wars going on all over the world today is because this country, as well as other countries, have not really taken the time out to learn about the cultures in other countries. And they think they can put their own ideas, their own policies, their own rules on other people, on other cultures, as if their culture is the only culture in the world. We can stand to learn a lot from people in other countries. And we can stand to learn a lot from our own people right in this country, the cultures. We can learn a lot from them. Because many cultures have been taught to respect others. They've been taught to not to make fun of other people that are different from them. They've been taught to have compassion for others, to help others. And as I always say, I've been in 11 countries. When I left this country, everyone was warning me about leaving this country, traveling alone, going to these different places. These places were supposed to be hostile. And what I found so much hospitable people in these countries. They're laid back. They're not fast-paced like they are in the United States. The racism isn't there like it is in the United States. The hatred, the vengeance, the boasting, the greed, the corruption, the lies, deception. It's not in those countries like it is in this country. And I've been in these countries. I didn't just go to the tourist attractions. I went into the villages to see how they live. And they have so little compared to what we have in the United States. And yet, they're totally different. They're decent people, they're loving people and caring people. And here we've been blessed in the United States of America. And what have we done with the blessings that have been bestowed upon us in this country? What have we done with the blessings? Ask our government, ask our political parties what they've done with the blessings that God has bestowed upon them. Because I hate to say it, but we're near that end. We're not in the last days anymore. We're in the last seconds of the last days. And it said, when this time comes, it's going to be worse than Sodom and Gomorrah. You know how bad Sodom and Gomorrah was? If you don't, go into your Bible and check it out. But it said, it's going to be worse than it was with Sodom and Gomorrah. Those who have been blessed are going to find out what it's like when those blessings are taken away and all destruction comes. And in the book of Thessalonians, you want to find out, read that book of Thessalonians in the Bible. Because when it says when peace and security come into place, that's when all destruction will happen. Peace and security. Nobody should be better than the other. No one should think they're better than the other. And when there are problems to be addressed, everyone should come together in unity, non-biased, and try to work these problems out. That's all we have to do. All we have to do, and there's so many ways now that people do not even have to leave their homes, to be a part of something, to be a part of positive changes. Everyone has computers. They have these virtual meetings they hold all the time. They have teleconference calls. Be a part of it. Be a part of it. You know, we don't have to spend money. We don't have to do a lot of protesting. We don't have to be out there causing problems. We have government officials who unfortunately have the title, but they don't have the power, or they don't realize how much their power, their titles are. When you can see legislative members contact prisons on behalf of constituents who have loved ones in prisons or constituents who are in prison, and they contact the prisons to find out what the problem is or to discuss with them the issues at hand, and the department doesn't do anything, doesn't say anything, and tells them, these are political leaders, that they have to get a release signed by the client. I mean, does that make sense? It doesn't. None of it makes sense. Now, we have in Massachusetts, we have a new governor who's already started making a lot of positive changes. She's going to be releasing thousands of prisoners who have been incarcerated for marijuana usage when marijuana is legal now. people who were sent to prison years ago for for all these things that are now legal, what happens to them? It's time that they were released. And he's wrongfully convicted. Start looking at their cases. There's not enough, and unfortunately, there's not enough of the Innocence Project to help all of these wrongfully convicted who are behind those walls. There's not enough of them. But there are clinics, law school clinics, that are taking prisoners' initial trial transcripts, and they're having their law students review all of them. My question is, how do you review trial transcripts and pick out discrepancies when you don't know what those discrepancies are? This is something that we have to talk about, because when people review trial transcripts and they don't know what they're looking for, unless maybe they review volume by volume with their incarcerated client. As I mentioned recently, I just started looking at the transcripts from almost 30 years ago. And I found so many discrepancies in those transcripts, and I've only gotten through a few of the volumes. And where were the lawyers at the time? The lawyers were nowhere to be found. They were there, but they were so unprepared, and they didn't really do much to represent their clients. So these are some of the things I just want everyone to think about. Think about these things. And now I'm going to bring on the host of the show, and that is Tunupa Guhamani. He will be taking over now. Thank you all for listening, and I will now present him. Tunupa Guhamani, it's your show.
All righty. Thank you, sister. And that brief edification you did was beautiful. Listen, ladies and gentlemen that are tuned in to today's show, again, we start off very heavy on topics that are very difficult for our people, especially when incarceration is the norm today in modern history. And for some of our brothers and sisters, they know today's show is linked to this understanding. Some of our brothers out there are deemed to do this thing. A number of stuff takes its course. But one thing we must understand, we always talk a good game when it comes to our brothers and sisters incarcerated. But lo and behold, no matter what the norm might be, there always is a face, man, crying out for help and acceptance that want love. And one of those things is very difficult for us to oversee. And so it's hard for us to produce anything. So if Johnny Three Fingers is involved, man, I want him to jump in here any place he wants to. Johnny, are you available? John Three Fingers, step up to the pedestal and give your brother a help. Are you there?
Unfortunately, no one's here, I'm sorry to say, because I took the time out to make sure I was available to start this thing, and no one has shown up.
Okay, hold on. Let me call right back in, and then I'll call him.
So, audience, I want to apologize to everyone for what's going on right now. It seems like in the beginning, when I first started the radio show about 5 years ago, everything seemed so normal. And now everyone wants to be able to have some part in speaking out on having their own show here. And I get stuck in the middle of it all. But I want to thank you all for being patient with what's been going on. Again, we have a problem in this country from the East Coast to the West Coast. And we need to get it addressed. Many of you have to start thinking about your future. For as long as we're going to be on this earth, do you want to continue to see what's going on in this country and live like this from now until whatever happens? Or do you want to at least try to make some kind of efforts to try to improve something, whatever we can improve. Because this country is going down. This country is deteriorating quickly, and the people in it. It was all prophesied, but at the same time, we can try to do something at least until whatever God's will for this country is. There used to be a saying that God helps those who help themselves. And unfortunately, everyone's expecting everyone else to do the jobs that they should be trying to do as well. And this is not happening. So think about it. If you have children, I'll tell you right now, you can have children that are in such good shape. They're doing so, so well. And then something can happen that's devastating that you don't expect. Because we, as it says in Ephesians, in the book of Ephesians in the Bible, we are not wrestling against flesh and blood, but we are wrestling against powers and principalities, rulers of darkness in high places. There are evil spirits in this world, and they are working through people. Whether they're working through those incarcerated only or whether they're working through those on the outside that have caused the good ones to be incarcerated. Because that's what we see. In all the years I've been advocating for the incarcerated, I have learned there are so many people incarcerated that are much, much better than those on the outside that we see still going out there and committing all these crimes and messing up all these lives. What you want to do, parents, with your children is you want to love them. Spend precious time with them. Teach them how to be compassionate for others and loving of others. Teach them how to be compassionate, helpful, understanding. But also, don't protect them, because that's what we do sometimes. We protect our children so much that they go out into the world and they get stumbled because there are people out there that have been getting away with so much. Or there's people out there that are trying to rebel against their parents by going with somebody that they know their parents won't be approving of. Or by doing other things. So many people have lost their loved ones through mass shootings, through incarceration, through other unfortunate tragedies. They have lost their loved ones. And I'm sure they wish their loved ones were back with them. But you, all of you people that are listening into this show, that have children, you have that chance now. You have that opportunity to love them as much as you can, to do as much with them. I remember getting into my toxic relationships. I remember being in a relationship one time where the man I was with, his brother worked for the sheriff's department, and his brother had a son, and that son was doing really good. But when that son messed up one time, the man I was with, he was happy. He was happy that his brother's son messed up, because he said, he always thinks he's such a good guy. He always thinks that his kid's better than us, than our children. He was upset that his brother had a son that was doing so good while his own kids were messing up. That's jealousy, pure jealousy. And I know there's probably a lot of people the same way with me, with my situation. When we have children that are doing so well and they get stumbled, other people are saying good, because they thought that they were better. No one thought that they were better. Those that do good are so busy out there working so hard at jobs to pay for their tuition and going to college, they don't have time to think they're better than others. But when others are doing nothing with their lives, they can't stand the fact that some people are doing well, and there's so much jealousy that they are feeling so good when somebody is stumbled. Audience, I don't want you ever to feel that way. Take the time that you have with your loved one. Spend time with them, whether it's your daughter, your son, your grandchild, your niece or nephew, whoever it might be. Spend quality time with them, because it can happen in a second. It can happen in a minute, an hour, a day, a week, a month, or a year. You never know when lightning strikes and how it's going to strike or who it's going to strike. I just want you to know this because life is too short. And now we're going to turn this back over to Chanupa Guhamani, but right now I believe one of his members are on. 406, please state your name.
This is John Three Fingers, Northern Cheyenne Reservation.
John Three Fingers, I am doing well. John, I'm going to let you, because this is supposed to be Chanupa's show, and I've had my own shows to do and my own work to do, so I'm going to let you take over until Chanupa comes back on. So if you can introduce yourself to the audience and get the show started, I'd appreciate it. I'm going to withdraw right now. Thank you.
Hello, my name is John Three Fingers. I live on the Northern Cheyenne Reservation. We are a third world country in the middle of a first world country. I have 93% unemployment here, but we live the best that we can here. We watch each other's back. We feed each other. We come together when times are hard. We share what we have. We make sure that each of us is safe. Each of us has the things that we need. And we take care of each other in the most basic ways because we do not have access to any fast food. We don't have access to any resources. We don't have any soup kitchens. We barely have a food bank. And it's hard living here, but we don't have racism. And we have three black people here. And I don't say that, you know, in a demeaning way, but that's how isolated we are. That's how much business does not want to be represented here. So when we see things, it's basically in black and white. We have no gray here. We live on the edge of life. Life plucks us hard, but we do what we can to make sure that the young ones are taken care of, the elderly are respected. That's one thing that I realized when I went out to college and went out to school and went out there and saw the world, that the elderly were disregarded so much so that it was kind of disheartening seeing that. My daughter worked at a restaurant, and it was so amazing how these people would order for their elderlies. And it was like they were invisible to them. They were getting after them. They were getting mad at them. Here, when we see an elderly, we make sure that they're taken care of, and we ask them for advice. We ask them for their wisdom because they did not arrive at that age, you know, by happenstance. They had to go through the things that we had to go through. We do not know what trials and tribulations they had to go through in their lives. So we respect them in that manner. We respect nature. We respect things that we don't understand, because understanding, you know, leads sometimes to disregard. When you become so complacent in the things around you, you take them for granted. And so we live one life, and we live one day at a time. And a lot of times we need to rely on each other. And I'm so grateful for Chanupa, and I'm so grateful for Leonora, because they are allowing us to reach you people. They are allowing us to share our lives and our world with you. And I noticed that there is a big discrepancy between your world and our world. And I would just like to say that we both are humans. We both bleed the same blood. We both have anxieties about things that are out of our control. But we need to come together as a people, brown, black, red, whatever. We need to come together. We need to stand up at this time and be counted as reliable, honorable, and worthwhile people. And I'm so grateful for this podcast. It allows me to touch you. It allows me to reach your heart. It allows me to lay my hand on your chest and be with you. And so you are here with me right now, and I'm there with you right now. And at no other time in our technology has that been possible. I can reach you through here. You can reach me through here. And to me, that is amazing. I've come from a place where we had no technology, where we needed something. We needed to grow it. We needed to create it, or we did without. And a lot of times here, we do without. If we don't have good shoes, we ask around. And if nobody has good shoes, then we do without. And so this lady, this elderly lady who I've helped in the past, she just now brought over some food for me. I did not ask her to. She just showed up at my door and said, hey, here's some food for you. And I took it and I thanked her. And she says, fight the good fight. She knows what I'm doing. She knows I'm starting an association for the Northern Cheyenne people. For so long, the Bureau of Indian Affairs has kept us down, has robbed us, has made sure that we do not progress where they think we need to be. But I'm dragging us out of the dark. I'm bringing us out of the shadow. I'm letting the sun hit our faces for the first time in years, and that feels so good. I may be in danger from the status quo. I may be in danger from the corrupt people, but we need to find our peace, and we need to fight our battles. And little by little, we're winning. Little by little, I'm gathering all the people together around me as a united front. And little by little, we are rising out of the mire and the muck and the murkiness that has been our lives for so long. Alcohol and drugs is a problem here because no one has hope. No one has the ability to see a future that doesn't involve drugs, alcohol, and death and despair. But it's happening. I'm dragging them with me, behind me. Even though I don't know what I'm doing, I am fighting for us. I'm fighting for the Northern Cheyenne people on this reservation. And so much is happening on the other reservations. Tunupa's reservation is having problems with drugs, alcohol, and cartel. Just like we are. The Arapaho, the Seminole, all the Indians, the eight tribes, are going through the exact same thing that I'm going through, that my people are going through. I'm not isolated, and I'm not saying this stuff to be taken pity upon. I'm opening your eyes to what is happening here on our reservations, on all reservations.
Thank you so
much.
You're welcome. John, and Chinupa is on now. So Chinupa, you want to take over?
Yes, yes. Let me step into this ordeal with my brother John and I, man, really addressing all these issues and talking about, you know, positive things and the way things should be changing. You know, people, on March 22nd, 2024, I attended a so-called treaty meeting. And I'm calling you from the treaty meeting here in South Dakota, in the good old town of Rapid City, South Dakota. It had an endeavor name called Racist City, okay? Because of the incarceration rate of our brothers and sisters, and because of law enforcement killing our people, you know. And when I mean they were killing our people, they're doing this on the contrary. It's random, okay? And now our people are doing the work for them. We just lost a young kid here about 2 weeks ago. Her name was Esther Wolf. She was shot and killed in Rapid City. And so to this date, on March 22nd, 2024, they haven't really apprehended the assailant. The victim was laid to rest. Sad but true, and God rest her soul. This young lady, her life was cut too short. And so this is what happens when white America decides to give a common authority of abuse to people, okay? Now, there's a group up here in Rapid City called Indian Collective, all right? And these guys are supposed to be looking at matters that will circumvent these issues of brutality, the incarceration rate. I mean, that's one of their mottos of how they received, you know, a large amount of federal dollars. And this amount of federal dollars is to go about certain rehabilitation programs to help, you know, facilitate the people that are getting discharged from these institutions. So I find it ironically that it's really a detrimental effect when it comes to our people dealing with this on an open note because of this factor, people. Look, in white America is known to practice and perfect colonial policies. These colonial policies are also implemented through the way the court system plays out sentencing, and it's on a larger scale, 1 to 100. And so, needless to say, our people have not relinquished the title to our said relatives, whether they're female or male, because of the way we are isolated on a said reservation. A said reservation. Now, in lateral thinking, in lateral terms, America is one big Indian reservation. It is, people. And when you look at what I'm saying there and you analyze it, okay, appropriately, not inappropriately, appropriately, you will learn the same measures that are going on in Indian country happens right at your front door. And because of that behavior, we are losing countless amounts of our people, young and old, to the penal complexes, better known as the institution of captivity, prisons. Okay? So how do we change that behavior? What shall we do to fix the problem? Many out there are saying they are part of these organizations that combat the norm of behavior when it involves our people getting illegally high amounts of sentencing for crimes that are less fortunate for the ones that do crime. Okay? White America does crime every day. So they teach you this aspect of it. Now, here on the Pine Ridge Indian Reservation, which I'm from, I have 19 parolees. And it was a difficult task to get on this so-called list of agents that would work with our people that are getting discharged from these colonial prison camps. It was difficult. They didn't want me to be participating in that release format of my brothers and sisters that were getting discharged. They didn't want me to do that. They did not want me to do that. But I used every means of a measure to address the incarceration rate and advocating for my brothers and sisters because I was locked up. I was in them so-called institutions of learning. Okay? As I told many people, that 13-year-old kid that took a life of a police officer and ended up in the federal penitentiary, I can't go back and tell that kid, I'm sorry for what the law enforcement people did to you. This 66-year-old man is that 13-year-old child. It's what we talk about on every level. Now, when I take a look at the Indian Collective, okay, they talk about what they're trying to do to help people that are incarcerated. How can you help people that are incarcerated when you don't put on the avenue of the way law enforcement and the penal complexes and the court system deem Native people? How do you think you're going to make a change when you don't address it? And it has to be addressed appropriately to meet that measure, okay? But lo and behold, they advocate it just on a minute basis. What do I mean by minute, okay? Just a small spectrum of the issue becomes normal. Small one. Let's say you're getting convicted of a traffic violation. Hey, that's too small, man. Like they say in lateral terms, if you do the crime, do the time, right? That's the logical and most heinous measure to understand the wherewithal between incarceration and the way people are deemed by a magnitude of people of color. We people of color are at a high rate of the incarceration rate in nation's history of captivity, okay? So here we are trying to break that gap because we have people out there aggressively speaking to that manner. And that manner is, what do we change in the complexes of the prison guidelines, the sentencing guidelines, probation guidelines, parole guidelines? What do we change, okay? Where it's never talked about, people, we need to change the court system laterally, okay? And so when you change the court system, all of these Tom, Dick, and Harrys that sit on the court benches to dispense justice, they're heinous too. They're racist, okay? People don't want to come at them that way, but it's the norm. It's the behavior. How the same system produces a guideline ineffective. It is. And today, the year March 22nd, 2024, we're watching history repeat itself. So now from that norm of the behavior, because everyone thinks it's normal to go to jail. Everyone thinks it's normal to be incarcerated with lengthy sentences, where there's people trying to break that gap of incarceration. And lo and behold, as you say it in white America, we are losing ourselves to captivity. No one wants to be incarcerated, but who created these crimes? Who brought them here? White America did. They were all released from incarceration when they boarded those four ships. The Pinta, the Mina, the Santa Maria, and the Mayflower. They all brought ex-cons here, no matter what the norm is. So that's how incarceration became successfully intoned to a workforce. And they did it to the indigenous people first, along with my African people. That's heinous to think about. That hurts. They say we'll never be incarcerated. As we speak, your house is a jail. You gotta unlock it and lock it while you're inside. Everything's done routinely on a square level. Square level. There is nothing round about an incarceration establishment, which is these colonial prison camps. There is nothing. This is why we speak to this behavior. When does it stop? It stops until we progressively raise the issue about them. They're used to incarceration. They are. The Caucasian race is used to incarceration. They will kick up their feet when they're locked down. No matter what the sentencing guidelines is, look at them. They're comfortable when they're locked up. We people of color, no. We're not used to that. That's what's happening today. And it's going to continue to happen until we, an issue of a clause. Many people say, well, we're winning at this level. At this level, we're winning. But what are you winning about? Scores and scores of our people, male and female, are being incarcerated for crimes against humanity. So now we turn the subject to a different level now. We indigenous people took a ride around this merry-go-round, okay? And this is a thought process that I want you all to embrace. When you take a ride on a merry-go-round, it spins until it stops itself. Okay, that's what they call a merry-go-round. Okay, and then your brain gets dizzy. Okay? Well, imagine the way our ancestors lived prior to the coming of the Caucasian people in 1492. There was no prisons in Turtle Island. None. There were jails in Turtle Island. None whatsoever. There was no guards. There was no sheriff. None of this. So what I always propose to people, we can change this system if we do one thing laterally, unilaterally. We have to put the blame on them to make them feel guilty, to stop this nonsense, or it's going to get worse. Nowhere in history did people of color ever utilize that behavior of incarcerating their own. Now, the reservations today in the year 2024 have become a norm of it. So now people like to sit in the Indian jails. They call it the Adult Offenders Facility. Okay? They like that. They become internalized inside of that Adult Offenders Facility. All right? Why do they repeat this crime every day on a reservation? One thing, and it's a mass norm of it. They have no home to call home. They have no place to live in. This is what America done to us. They reduced us from our way of living in a teepee. And we followed the buffalo. We moved it. We were never incarcerated. We were free. So here we are, incarcerated. That's the hard part in white America. But nobody talks about it. All them groups that are out there don't utilize that normal behavior to address it. Instead of sending our brothers and sisters to prison, why don't we continuously get people that are strong-minded enough free themselves from that captive warfare? It's becoming institutional. So when a person's incarcerated, it becomes institutionalized. So he repeats that same crime to get back in, or where he's come from. Inside the prison camp, he's somebody. Out here, he's nobody. Because society's moving too fast. That's inhuman, people, but that's how white America works. Corporations make that happen. Even your child is incarcerated. Mom and dad, when they got to do a 9-to-5, what do? They dump the kids off at a daycare center. That's a form of an institution. And then sending them off to school is another form of educational institution, man. Those kids cannot learn the basic necessities of human life skills from mom and dad. And who created it? We did, by letting the white man's way of life dictate responsibility. They got all kinds of norms of laws that discriminate human life. Nobody asked to be treated this way. No one. None of you did. Even the churches. They're the same way. That might sound offensive to people. It's the truth. This is what's hard in white America. I get very aggressive and I get agitated, angry. I use my bully pulpit all the time when I speak to these levels and these majors. I'm tired of my people. Red, yellow, and black. My people of color, I'm tired of them living in dormancy. And the white man lives in comfort. Come on, people, help me. We tell everybody, these shows are about your basic human rights. These shows are to help you understand fairness and balance. These shows are to help you understand why white America dehumanizes your brothers and sisters. That's the norm of them. It'll never go away. It'll never stop until we do it, until we make it go away, and until we stop it. That's how you change things. People need to get involved. But that behavior is seldom spoken of. This is what's happening, people. And I give you guys always that benefit of a doubt to react to that same measure. Now, I'm going to turn this segment back to this understanding. So let's look at what a language can do, okay? And this is how we're going to do it. We're at the top of the hour of 4 o'clock, okay? It's 3:54, going towards 4 o'clock. So here's how we're going to do it, and I'm going to break it down for you. In lateral terms of thinking, wakhantanka kichimane tu kile, wowak sape kile unkupi. Okay? That's number one. He gave us this value of life. So through the great mystery and our four-legged brothers and sisters that have feathers and wings and that have four legs, they gave us this ability to understand freedom and independence. And you adapted that type of formality. Okay? You guided yourself with it by turning that virtue into reality. There was no judges. There was no cops. There was nothing. Because it was the act of living. There was no incarceration. Okay? And every territorial boundary in the Western Hemisphere, okay, they had a way of living. They had a way of honor. Nobody, and I repeat this all the time because I get upset when people say, well, you guys warred with each other. No, we did not. That's a big lie, okay? What we did with each other is we counted cool. We didn't kill each other. Okay? That was brought over here by the white race. That's why he brought that fire stick over here when he stole gunpowder from the Chinese people. The white man is a thief. No question asked. But I'm not trying to offend him. I'm trying to help you understand the dynamics between human life and the behavior of these three colors of man. The red man, the black man, and the yellow man. We'll get to the white man at another time. But right now, this camaraderie continues to plague us because we pick up their way of life. They say, Wolak hotaki lila o techike. Nahamila huska kawoyuk jahe iach yuhanta techia walakokte. They say when you pick up that white man's way of life, you're going to see a difficult task. These are only words that I can describe what them symbolic messages are when they're done in a language. And the language speaks the truth. It doesn't lie. And we all know that. So here we are facing this behavior that doesn't belong to us. So I say it again. Lakhota we chokan ki ogna. Wolak sapekile yuha hunta. Natueki hena echis e woyukcha ichu hunta wakhantkana uchi maka le wosuta anipach pato etaha wash akile ichachinkte. The goodest interpretation you can give it, because our language was never written, we're only asking between the pros and cons and white society is all we're asking is to be free and left alone. We didn't do nothing to you. We didn't incarcerate you. We didn't do none of that. And that's the hard part. When they came into our country, we taught them how to live off the land. We fed them. We clothed them. We did everything that we were supposed to do to our fellow man. And many others of color did the same thing. And now look what he did to us. This hurts people. This hurts. Now we're using his language to communicate. We bear his names to identify ourselves. We're named Dennis, John, Dwayne, Henry, Mike, Bill. There's Shirley. There's Brenda, Barbara, Nancy, Kathy, Catherine, Cindy, Bart, Bobby, short for Robert, Callahan, McGregory. We're bearing his names. Okay, so if we're bearing his names, why doesn't he leave us alone? Get it, people? That's what's happening. So here we are, subjugated to this colonial abuse of injustice. Hello? Now here's what I close with. Because there is a benefit of a doubt out there, and you know this, people. That benefit of a doubt is never, ever tolerated in the form of justice. Always pleading to the white man for every measure that isn't ours. And I rest my case with that. Until we develop our own strategy to monopolize and hold this man accountable, then and only then can we change the system. And it's going to take a series of catalysts to bring it out of dormancy, and it can be done. My brother John, are you there?
I'm here.
Jonathan?
Jonathan?
Yeah, I'm here.
Come on in, take over. I'm going to give you a chance to respond to some of that.
What Juniper says is true about the white man. The white man won't be comfortable until we are out of his life, until we no longer are in his vision, until we no longer are on his planet, in his world. We are in charge of white people's comfort. How much power do we have if we are in charge of their comfort? They see us on the street, they're uncomfortable. They see us driving by more expensive cars, they're uncomfortable. They need us not to be in their world. And that's the terrible thing about it. They will never rest until we are gone. They put us on reservations. The state of Montana wanted to abolish reservations. They were asking public comment, so I wrote, if you abolish reservations, then all us natives will move to your cities. We will have no choice. We will date your daughters. We will give them diseases. We will be stealing your stuff. We will be in your jobs. We will be right next to you constantly, 24/7. All of a sudden, that bill was gone because they realized that. You give us no place to go. You put us here on the most barren, desolate places. And then you come to find out that there are riches underneath us. And all of a sudden, you're back again, wanting those riches, wanting our coal, wanting our oil, wanting our water, wanting our hay, everything. You want everything that we have, but you just don't want us. Us colored people, us brown people, us red people, yellow people. They are only comfortable with themselves. That is what my grandma called them. Ant people, because they can only be with themselves. You know, and I've taken it to heart. I realize that we are fighting against the federal government. We are fighting against people that have made it their mission to get rid of us, has made it their life joy to disregard us, to embezzle against us, to be as racist as they can to us, because it is in their best interest, in their comfort, to be that way towards us. They've lived their whole lives thinking that we are not something that can be quantified or understood or helped. They don't want to help us. And there is great disparity and unequal systems that we have to fight against. A politician who tried to thwart the government is going to spend 3 months in low security jail. He literally tried to take over the government with Trump's help. He's going to get 3 months. Now, Mr. Peltier, who was fighting for his people, is still in jail. 50 years. That is a lifetime, people. Our Native people don't live that long. I am 55 years old. I lived as long as my uncle. I lived longer than my dad. I lived longer than a lot of people that are around me. We don't live that long. We burn our candle on both ends, basically. But that is our lot in life. We have to decide right now what is important to us. If you light up the little area around your environment, that is a start. You have to learn how to manipulate the white man's laws in order to thwart him. Sometimes you have to fight him on his own ground. And sometimes you have to do things that are distasteful. You have to go out. You have to be among him to learn how he thinks. And sometimes the enemy gives you avenues to destroy him. One way to destroy him is you learn his laws. I always say, with knowledge, you can tie a forked tongue together and make it speak the truth. And I believe that. We need to understand where we come from. We are warriors, me and Chinupa, but you are warriors also. A dog soldier fights for others. That is all he does. He's not an elite this and that because he holds this and that position. He is elite because he gives everything for other people. That is a dog soldier. You can be a dog soldier in your own right. You can be a dog soldier in your own life just by holding up your people, holding them up and ballasting their positions. Be a group conglomerate. Be the people that they need you to be. Be a shining example of what your people can be. Chinupa and I are on this path. He is the one that set me on here. He is the one that showed me these podcasts. I thought I was alone, but I'm not. I'm getting all this feedback from your people showing me that, hey, you are not alone. You are not responsible for everybody. Let us help you. Let us carry your burden. And, man, I sure appreciate that. I appreciate all of you. I appreciate all of your good words and your heartfelt thanks. And, man, believe me when I say that we need it here. Just praying for us is something. Prayer is real. Mahea looks upon all of us with favor. We just need to accept him into our heart and be the people that we can be. No, we're on this path for others, and so can you be. You just need to learn where you can do the best for your people. We need things in our lives. We need avenues that can give us progress. A lot of times in life, we misjudge. We go around things. We don't take things seriously until it's too late. Now I'm 55 years old. I helped my people all my life, but I was not doing what I could have been doing. And so now I am. I decided that we must stand together to thwart the corruption in our lives. And so you must do the same thing. You must decide what is right and proper in your life. You must decide that things are happening right now that you need to take care of. You cannot let it go by. You cannot let this moment slip through your fingers. You cannot make another person decide for you what's important. You cannot allow another person decide for you your joy, your happiness, because you're going to be waiting a long time. And you cannot let someone steal your joy. You cannot let your own mind be your prison. You have to allow yourself the freedom to dream, to be available to those opportunities that are coming to you. Mahea, God, whatever you want to call him, looks upon us constantly. The messages are all around us. That falling leaf from that tree is a message. The sunlight coming through the window is a message. That hug of your grandchild is a message. It tells you, continue what is best in life. Make sure that these people that are around you have the best life. And so that's what you can do. You need to see them signs. You need to believe in your message. You need to believe in yourself. Most of all, you need to believe that you can make change. You can be the idol. You can be the person who you always thought you were. And you are. Belief, intent, and love is where we need to be. We need to be warriors for each other. We need to know, hey, I'm here for you. And that vice versa. People have come to me and told me I'm doing a good thing for our people. I believe that. We all have to come together. We all have to realize now is the time. We can talk about it. We can think about it. We can plan for it. But it always takes that first step And that first step is hard. But with togetherness, with the ability to plan, process, and make change, we will happen. We will be the happening that needs the world. We need to be together on this. And so when we do these podcasts, when we say our message, when we believe in our message, it has to be right now. We can talk about it, but it has to be acted upon. You can be scared. You can be anxious. You can be all those things that keep you down, but you cannot be scared and worried about the future because it is in your hands. It is what you make it. Grab your joy. Grab your happiness. But most of all, grab your peace because you are going into battle right now. Enjoy your peace. But enjoy that thrill of making a difference wherever you are. The little subtle differences, the big differences. Make the difference that you are. That's all I got right now.
My little brother gave a beautiful sentiment of what he witnesses and what he experienced. You see, people, this is what me and my brother John do. Two dog soldiers expressing what a heart can do. And it's not about the two individuals. It's about what we can do for our people to give them a positive future for our generations to come. When we're gone, our ancestors paved the way for us, young and old, old and modern. They paved this opportunity for the two of us to make a difference, to continue to change something that has been broken. And it's the way we live. That's the hard part that most people can't obtain. Now, with this understanding that these two warriors do for each other to help our people, it's going to take that, a series of catalysts to bring it out of dormancy. Nonetheless, you can talk all you want. You can say all you want. But what are you prepared to do? And that do is now. My grandfather once told me, and I still live by this understanding, when you remove a people from the forest, the people of the forest become unknown. And what becomes unknown, you want to destroy. Well, that's happening to the black man, the yellow man, and the red man. And as far as the Caucasian people go, meaning the white race, now he's doing it to himself. How do we take that responsibility on? How do we help him fix it? Well, unfortunately, I'm going to have to find a way to forgive that guy. I have to. Not Johnny, not nobody, not my sister Leona. I have to. Chanupa has to. For all that man has done to us, past and present, that's the thing that's very difficult for us to obtain. And these issues are always talked about. Now imagine this now, as we come to the bottom of the hour before we close our show. Imagine this, folks. Imagine the black people in my country built prisons and jails and incarcerated them. Okay? Imagine the yellow man building jails and prisons and incarcerating them. And then we, the native people, we red men, building jails and prison and incarcerating them. Is that going to be the same way? Are they going to cry out for human rights abuse, being mistreated? Are they going to cry out because, hey, we're giving out lengthy sentences? Are they going to make any stink of that behavior? No, they will not. No, they will not. Why? Because we color of man ain't that way. Hello? That's the problem. What they have done to everybody else is to neutralize and create workforces for their gain. That's not self-righteousness, people. No, it isn't. It's an act of injustice to control. Rome did it. The Egyptians did it. The Greeks did it. The Mesopotamians did it. Persians did it. They all did it. But we didn't do that. We three people of color did not do that. We lived off the earth. We dwelled in harmony with the earth and all the living creatures. These creations, man, were our study of knowing that the world was free. Free! Imagine that, people! Think about it! And now here we are, in the lateral part of 2024, still speaking to these topics, because no one, and I repeat, no one, makes the effort to help change it. And now my brother, Leonard Peltier, is deteriorating. People, think about that. He's not the only one incarcerated with lengthy sentences. He's accused of taking the lives of two federal FBI agents. Leonard didn't do that. Law enforcement did it to their own people. That's the norm. They won't blame themselves. That's heinous to say, but it's the truth. They want to make a martyr out of him. And they make movies about all of these injustices that go on in Turtle Island, which you call white America, the United States of America. They want, all you got to do is watch the movies. Watch how heinous they behave. And you will see that normal pronunciation described in these movies is the way they live. Sad but true. So in closing, Johnny, you want to give a last-minute remark before we close? And then I'll do the same.
White privilege is a real thing. We all know it. We all feel it. We all see it. You go out there, they give that gentleman the benefit of the doubt. He crashes into you, you get blamed. The police come up, you are automatically the aggressor. You are automatically the person that started it all, that did it, even though he was the one that ran into you. White privilege exists. White privilege is something that we all feel left and right every day. They revel in that. They decided long ago that we are not worthwhile. And so we have to fight against that thought, that idea. White man is good at disregarding you and telling you what's important. We try to live up to his ideals. We never will. They tell us what's important. You need to get to Hawaii so you can sit on the beach. You need to have that car so people can see you driving down the road. But these things aren't important. What's important is your happiness, your joy, what you can give to the ones below you, the elderly. We have to decide right now what's important, and the white man's way is not for us. Thank you.
And I give an A-plus to my brother, Johnny, for interpreting his value and how he sees the system revealing itself. Wola koto ogna le taku wagla ke kile washichi tawo pheki ogna blue toxin tena etaha chichukte lila ota we choka kle suta chante ogna ois papi na chokata ke to khiot kha ia pi na makhoche on kata umonipi he wo suta ke he na yanke un chi makha kle toni enik tuja okokis ne na wa khat khan ka ki chi mane to ki kuta kya awang ni kuaksto wa mak khaska op to lectures stala ya kawin ta na toske lena ya paslon oaste e chano ke he wo suta ke he na yanke na tako le chala ke misunkala tako i wogla ke hena wichakhe i echetu. Chawa sloik i yok pi he waku. Ho yung kawana, chie tok i wankata hiu na ha, wak sape insha tokata ke wakakhule. Mila hanska tha wo ableze wo yuk cham tele na unki tokni. He un tako yu tok cha unko kipsni. Esh takomni, wolak hot ognashna hechus i lalam hanta, Trokata kia taku ya chinkte ke he paslona o otkhana hechus en wakantkhanka na unchi makha kile wosuta kile paslona oni chake. Wamak khashka kile na ehani wosuta unkupi. He un taku we wochakhiape ke hena yanke ke hena ichakhiape. Wamak khashka ki hena ishan wosuta ke hena ichakhiape. He un wichoye na hakti ois papi. Chalak khoti api na ha. Tona ho hena woyuk chan ke hena you happy. Wa ma khashka ki lena hena unk upi. Cha wosu ta ki he yanke. O washte taku le wolak hot e chet ke unkina jipi ke he. Wa khant khanka ki chi mane tu na unchi ma kha ki lena anapta oni chokte tkokata kya. We chokhan ki le o yashka hanta ta komani wak sabbe hena iyachukte. Kya hechin se ho wat khan le akhe chunu pa gluha money mecha wo lak hote chamu na wo aglake. What I said in the language, people, very simple. Many times our people have forgotten the traditional concepts that deal with our everyday living. Deal with it. These are only terms describing to a philosophical standard that will give us the ability to understand indigenous thought and philosophy, but it's still a world controlled by men. And so the Earth Mother and the great mystery above gave us this ability to live free with our four-legged and winged creatures. And because we followed that nature, we still believe in that nature. As a symbolic retroid, they still bless us and give us that strength and wisdom and knowledge to continue on. Many people have forgotten these ancient stories and teachings of the way our ancestors once did it. And they're still doing it today. They all have left. People say they became a thing of the past. Well, that's yet to be proven because I am a bloodline. My brother Johnny is the bloodline of the things of the past. We are the future, paving it for you to obtain the indigenous thought and philosophy that will continue to serve the great mystery and Mother Earth and all the winged and the four-legged creatures. They gave us this ability to understand why we are showing fairness and balance. And when you have fairness and balance in your heart, the only thing that you can obtain from all of it is being happy and loving one another. That's how you help and care for everything. Today, we don't do that. And for many people that are tuned in, today, there's a birthday out there. And that birthday belongs to this young woman, a mother. And this birthday is hers. And this birthday song I'm going to give to my brother, my newly found brother, Brother Hess. I'm going to honor your mom in our closing. And Sis Leona, we thank you for giving us another day. We'll see you guys all tomorrow, same time, 3 o'clock. Don't be late if you want to feel great. Okay, people? This is our birthday song we're going to give Brother Hess for his lovable mom for having another good day of being here. So here's her birthday song. Oh, ma, ki, ya, yo, yo, hoy. Oh, ma ki ya ye lo, hi ye yo hi yo, le chi ya ya. Oh, ma ki ya yo yo hoi, oh, ma ki ya ye lo, hi ye ye hoi. Uchi makaya le chi ya ya ya. Ho ma ki ya yo yo. Ho ma ki ya ye lo. Ai ye yo hi yo. Le chi ya ya. Ho ma ki ya yo yo. Ho ma ki ya ye lo. Ai ye ye he hoi. Le chi ya ya. O ma ki ya yo yo hoi. O ma ki ya ye lo. Ai ye ye yo hi yo. Le chi ya ya. O ma ki ya yo yo hoi. O ma ki ya ye lo. Ai ye ye he hoi. Unchi makaya le chi ya ya, o ma ki ya yo yo hoi, o ma ki ya ye lo, ai ye yo hi yo, le chi ya ya, o ma ki ya yo yo hoi. O ma ki ya ye lo, ai ye ye he hoi. Le ye chi ya ya, o ma ki ya yo yo hoi. O ma ki ya ye lo, ai ye ye yo hi yo. Le ye chi ya ya. O ma ki ya yo yo hoi, o ma ki ya ye lo, ai ye ye he hoi. O chi ma ka ya, le chi ya ya, o ma ki ya yo yo hoi, o ma ki ya ye lo. Ai ye yo hi yo, le chi ya ya, o ma ki ya yo yo hoi, o ma ki ya ye lo, ai ye ye he hoi. A le chi ya ya, o ma ki ya yo yo hoi. O ma ki ya ye lo, ai ye yo hi yo, le chi ya ya, o ma ki ya yo yo, o ma ki ya ye lo, ai ye ye he hoi. O chi ma ka ya, le chi ya ya, o ma ki ya yo yo hoi, o ma ki ya ye lo, ai ye yo hi yo, le chi ya ya, o ma ki ya yo yo hoi, o ma ki ya ye lo, ai ye ye he yo. Happy birthday to the mother of Brother Hess, and we say good night. And we'll see you tomorrow at 3 o'clock Mountain Time on the show that speaks the truth. Hokahe, and thank you too, Johnny, for coming on and assisting your big brother. Hokahe.